From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Cormery. On Sunday, Juneau police arrested Mitchell Whatley in connection with anti-trans and threatening notes posted around town. Whatley is widely known as the illustrator of the popular Alaska children's book, I Would Tuck You In. He's being charged with terroristic threatening, a felony. On Friday, notes were left downtown in Foodland IGA and the state office building. Two more notes were left in Juneau's Costco over the weekend. Juneau police were able to use Costco's surveillance video to track the person who posted the notes back to a car. They then traced the license plates on the car to Whatley. When police arrested Whatley, he confessed. Lieutenant Craig Campbell with the Juneau police credited the FBI for helping with the arrest.
You know, anytime there's a potential threat like this and it comes across, we try to partner with any resources we can. So if any other law enforcement that may be able to aid in this, and the FBI is a partner that a lot of times will assist in these types of cases.
At Whatley's arraignment on Monday, Assistant District Attorney Rexine Finley said Whatley put Juneau residents in fear by placing the notes where, quote, people go shopping with their children. She said he intimidated the trans community as well as families with children in schools. The judge set Whatley's bond at $10,000. She also required that he hand in all firearms and stay away from schools and parks as conditions of release from Lemon Creek Correctional Center, where he's been held since his arrest. A preliminary hearing in the case is set for April 11th. Last week, Alaska students, teachers, and sexual assault survivors spoke against a bill that Governor Mike Dunleavy says would support parental rights and increase transparency in schools. KTOO's Katie Anastas has more.
Nelson Merrill is a parent and commercial fisherman who lives in Juneau. He wore a shirt that read, Protect LGBT plus youth, in rainbow letters to testify Thursday night.
The trans community is in perpetual fear of policies and hateful ideology like what this bill represents every day.
During nearly 5 hours of public testimony, more than 100 people spoke against the bill, saying it would put LGBTQ plus students at risk. The bill would require parent permission before students could participate in sex education classes, use different names or pronouns at school, and attend clubs related to gender and sexuality. Critics of the bill say it could force students to come out to their parents, who may or may not be supportive. And they say that could make mental health outcomes for an already vulnerable group of kids even worse. Megan Hinton teaches special education at Thunder Mountain High School in Juneau.
I have students that are transgender, and let me tell you, at the school, it is not an issue. You are making it an issue. The governor is making it an issue.
Anchorage resident Aaron Willihan said the bill prioritizes the views of one group of parents over the rights of all students to access sex ed.
Particularly in the age of the internet, kids are going to learn about the world regardless of legislative attempts to ban books, censor conversations, remove access to sex ed, and demonize LGBTQ plus classmates and parents. Allow children the safety of exploring themselves and the world with the guidance that a teacher, curriculum, and supportive environment can offer.
The bill would also require school districts to tell parents that they can sue the district if it violates the bill's requirements. Juneau resident Pat Race said that would hurt districts that are already struggling financially.
We're looking at a time when school districts are strapped for cash and we're trying to pile up a bunch of lawsuits against them. I don't think that's going to be helpful.
April Smith, a member of the Fairbanks North Star Borough School Board, supports the bill. She said a statewide policy would help school boards focus on other district needs.
I'm always advocating for local control, but some of these issues have been just binding up the local boards so much that we can't get to our normal work.
Other supporters of the bill said respecting transgender students' names and pronouns goes against their Christian values. They said parents should know what's being taught in school. Alaska parents can already opt their children out of sex education classes. In many districts, they can even look at the curriculum plans online. Critics of the bill also pointed to Alaska's high rates of sexually transmitted diseases as a reason sex ed should be more accessible, not less. Some opponents who spoke Thursday worried about the bill's effects on sexual abuse awareness and prevention efforts. That curriculum is required by law, and it can start as early as kindergarten. Dunleavy's bill would ban sex education before fourth grade. At a committee meeting Wednesday, Soldotna Republican Representative Justin Ruffridge asked how those laws could coexist.
How is someone supposed to be able to teach a child about what's inappropriate without being in violation of some of the things that are in this chapter?
Department of Education Acting Commissioner Heidi Teschner said if the bill passes, parents would have the option to opt out of that curriculum rather than to opt in. The bill remains in the House Education Committee. The Senate version of the bill has been referred to the Judiciary Committee. In Juneau, I'm Katie Anastas.
The start of Alaska's cruise ship season is just 2 weeks away. Juneau will welcome hundreds of cruise ships in the coming months. In a recent interactive feature for High Key magazine, a freelance investigative journalist, Andrew Angleson, took a look at the impact the cruise industry has on the environment and quality of life in Southeast Alaska. KTOO's Anna Canny asked him about his findings.
So you're based in Seattle, and that's sort of the hub where a lot of these Alaskan cruise ships set sail. So I'm sure you're used to just seeing the presence of the industry. But as a reporter, what motivated you to take a deep dive into their environmental impacts?
You know, the carbon impacts, the emissions. And then, you know, these are floating hotels that have up to 4,000 people on them. And so those people are, you know, brushing their teeth and using showers. And so there's going to be treated sewage, gray water, all the trash that's generated. And, you know, thousands of tourists basically doubling or tripling the size of population of small towns when these ships arrive. But I wanted to dig in deeper.
As you mentioned, there's been a lot of reporting on this over the years, but something that's really unique about your piece, I think, is the formatting of it. So we follow this one fictional ship, you call it the Oceanic Topaz. We follow it through its stops on its journey through Alaska. I wonder what led you to that approach.
The findings I'd found in this were really overwhelming. Putting it in a traditional article was going to make it difficult to really kind of cumulatively see those impacts. But if you kind of look at one ship and seeing the impact of just one ship on its 7-day journey, I think was pretty powerful.
I just want to highlight some of the numbers that you bring up in your reporting. 2,800 metric tons of carbon dioxide emissions. And then, of course, you use hot tubs to visualize the wastewater, which I thought was helpful. 400 tubs of sewage and 3,000 hot tubs worth of gray water. And then, of course, there's the trash. I think it was 8 tons of trash. I mean, those are huge numbers, and that's all for one ship. Then you start to understand here in Juneau, we're seeing up to 5 ships a day.
And then it's amazing to think about that there are nearly 300 of them making that journey. You know, 13 ships, 300 some sailings. It's a lot.
Here in Juneau, something that really struck me is that the majority of our marine emissions, I think upwards of 80%, can be linked to the diesel fuel that burns with cruise ships. But I'm wondering if you could contextualize that piece a little bit more for me.
Yes, it was really surprising because I think a lot of us, you know, we're always thinking about our climate impacts, about, you know, whether we drive our car on a trip or if we take a flight, and, you know, where cruises fit into that as well. And cruises seem to be really high on that level. And that was fairly surprising to see that one, 7-day cruise was putting out, you know, 2,800 metric tons of carbon dioxide, which is equivalent to driving 600 cars for a year.
And another thing I want to ask about, those diesel fuels are really heavy on emissions, but they're also heavy on another kind of pollution, which I wasn't super familiar with. It's the impact of scrubber discharge.
Yeah, so a lot of these ships for years used what's called high sulfur fuel, and it puts out these particulates. It's really bad pollution. And so the International Maritime Organization, you know, recommended that ships either switch to a low sulfur fuel or put in what's called a scrubber, which basically sprays water through the exhaust and basically taking that and putting those pollutants into the water instead of into the air. The problem is then it takes those pollutants and puts it out into the sea. And so that discharge is very acidic. It contributes to ocean acidification. It has, metals and other pollutants in it. And it's really very unregulated because it's relatively new. I mean, most people know about, you know, sewage and that it should be treated. But this is dumped in both Washington State, British Columbia, and Alaska.
It's clear from a lot of the sources that you interview that there's definitely concern. Like, Alaskans are concerned and are noticing these impacts. But there's a trade-off for a lot of these communities, right? You hear about the economic benefit that the cruise industry brings.
Yeah, it's a complicated issue. I mean, you know, Seattle actually definitely benefits. There's no question. And certainly it's, you know, the economic benefits to places like Juneau and Ketchikan are high. And maybe the economic benefits are, you know, worth it. But when you kind of total up, you know, all of those impacts and the impacts to quality of life, you know, there's some question. And it was surprising to me that the, you know, there was a poll of Juneau residents that said a majority of them were like, yes, we should limit the number of cruise ships.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it will be really interesting for our listeners because our first cruise ships arrive just over 2 weeks from now. So thanks for chatting with me, Andrew.
really appreciate it.
That was KTOO's Anna Canny talking to Seattle-based reporter Andrew Engelson about his recent article about the impacts of taking an Alaska cruise. You're listening to KTOO.